The spirit was in great grief because she had hung herself, and thought the body of the psychic was her own, and that the rope was still about her neck. She said that on October 5th, without any cause or premeditation, she had been overpowered by a desire to take her life, and when alone had gone to the barn and hung herself. A big man with a black beard made me do it. Spirit, he met me in the barnyard and hypnotized me, and made me hang myself to a rafter, but I don't know why I did it. My brother John found me and cut me down, and my parents were almost beside themselves. But I am not dead. I am at home all the time and I talk to my mother and father. I try to comfort them and make them know that I am not dead, but they do not notice me and do not answer me. My folks all sit around the table crying, and there is my empty chair, but no one answers me. Why don't they answer me? We could not at first convince her that she was expressing herself through the body of another, but after a lengthy conversation, she was somewhat enlightened and comforted, and left with spirit friends. Previous to this incident, neither Mrs. Wakeland nor I had heard of the Harmoning suicide mystery, and we did not know that such a girl had ever existed. Several days later, a reporter from one of the Chicago dailies came to interview us regarding our research work, and I related our recent experience with the Harmoning girl. In great surprise, he said that he himself had been the reporter on the Harmoning case and that the girl had lived in Palatine, Cook County, Illinois. The dead body of the girl had been found hanging in her father's barn, but no one knew of any cause for suicide, although the girl had always been peculiar. There was a suspicion of murder because the clothes about the chest had been torn, and the neck badly scratched, leading the authorities to believe that a crime had been committed and the body hung up to avert suspicion. On Thanksgiving Day, November 24, the spirit of Minnie Harmoning came to us again, still grieving because of the suffering of her parents, and the intolerant attitude assumed toward her family by the villagers and church members, who considered the family disgraced. The girl had been a devout member of a German Lutheran church, but because she had died a suicide, the pastor had refused to allow the funeral service to be held in the church, nor would the congregation permit the body to be buried in the consecrated ground of the churchyard. Minnie said that the funeral service had been held at the home of her parents, but the minister had considered the viewing of the body such a sacrilege that he had stepped outside the house while others paid their last tribute, and this had added still more to the grief of her already distracted parents. These statements I found corroborated in the papers afterward. I asked the spirit why her clothes had been torn, and she answered, "I did that myself." The big man, spirit, with the beard told me to hang myself, but as soon as I had kicked the box away from my feet, I felt the rope tightening around my neck and came to my senses. I clawed at the rope and tried to loosen it, but I only tightened it and scratched myself. 14 years later, the spirit of Minnie Harmoning spoke to us again. Experience, October 20, 1918. Spirit, Minnie Harmoning. Psychic, Mrs. Wakeland, I want to thank you for all the help you have given me. When I committed the act which took my life, I was only a young girl of 16. I had so much suffering afterwards and was very, very miserable. I could see my father and mother sitting at the table, crying, and I could not help them. When the time came for my body to be buried, the minister would not take it into the church, and would not bury it, because, he said, I had committed a sin in taking my own life. He also said that I could not be buried in the graveyard because of my act, and he would not even look at the funeral as it passed by. I did not do the deed myself. I was obsessed. It was very hard for my father and mother and sisters. The minister would not even come into the room where my body lay, but spoke from another room. He was too holy to be where the body was. This made it much harder for my parents. Do not think that by taking your own life you can bury yourself in the hereafter. I was obsessed when I took my life and did not know what I was doing, but I am suffering because my father and mother are still mourning for me. Very often I go to see my poor old mother, and she is very old now. I am the girl who lived at Palatine. You remember me, don't you? The neighbors made it still harder for my folks because they told mother what a disgrace it was for the family. I feel very badly about the matter. I want to thank you for the help I received here. It was through you that I received light and understanding. I am happy in a way, but not real happy, because I feel the grief my father and mother have. When I lived, I did not understand obsession. After I had hung myself, I saw a man beside me, staring at me. Just when the rope was around my neck I came to, I tried my best to get it off my neck, but I had kicked the box from under myself and my whole weight was in the rope and I could do nothing. I scratched my body in an effort to free myself, but it was no use. If one takes his own life, he goes through a bitter experience, and suffers greatly. Yes, suffers greatly. I thank you very much for the light and understanding I have received, for it has been a great help to me. Another experience, illustrating the power exercised over sensitive mortals by malignant, earthbound spirits, occurred in Chicago. Mrs. Whitland and I were resting on the bench in Lincoln Park, on July 12, 1906, when an elderly gentleman seated himself beside us. Mrs. Whitland at first saw two men on the bench, but upon looking again, noticed only one. A conversation ensued which drifted into occultism, and when the stranger, Mr. F., expressed an interest in psychic phenomena, we invited him to call at our home. On the following evening Mr. F. called upon us, and later Mrs. Whitland became entranced by the spirit of a man who was greatly agitated. He called Mr. F. by name, saying he was his friend, Mr. B., of Cleveland, who had been with him in Lincoln Park the previous week, and had had an appointment to meet him there again on that very day. Mr. F. was greatly startled by this communication, for his friend had committed suicide in his club at Cleveland the preceding Sunday. Mr. B. had lived in Cleveland and had come to Chicago the week before to close a real estate deal, but before final negotiations were completed, had returned for a weekend visit to Cleveland. He was in a cheerful frame of mind when he left his home on Sunday morning, but after conversing with a group of friends at his club, he had gone into an adjoining room, placed carbolic acid in his glass of wine and drinking it, had fallen dead. Mr. B. had been a man of wealth and position, to all appearances singularly fortunate and happy, and there seemed no reason for his suicide. The spirit of Mr. B. was greatly troubled and bewildered, and asked his friend what was the matter with him. I go home to my wife and children, but they do not seem to see me or hear me. I have been with you for several days, but you will not talk to me. What is the matter? Calming the spirit, we finally made him realize that to the world he was dead, and after explaining the suicide to him, we asked why he had taken his life. I did not take my life. I went to the club and was talking to my friends, then I went into another room, but I do not know what happened after that. The next thing that I remember is that I saw my body lying on the floor and a man, spirit, watching me and laughing. After learning more of his condition, the spirit urged his friend to write to his wife and tell her that in reality he was not dead at all. On the evening of the 16th, Mr. F. called again, when the spirit of Mr. B. came a second time, still greatly disturbed, and asked his friend why he had not written to his wife, and urgently begged him to do so. I know now that I was influenced to commit suicide by evil spirits who were opposed to my carrying out that real estate deal. Rather than see my purpose accomplished, they determined to kill me. Please tell my wife the truth and warn all the world to be wiser. While the trial of a young man, who was accused of killing a college girl, Marion Lambert, was in progress in Waukegan, Illinois, the spirit of the murdered girl was brought to us, on June 17, 1916, entrancing Mrs. Whitland. She was weeping uncontrollably and in such distress that she was at first unable to speak, then suddenly cried out, "I did it! I did it! Nobody can help me now! If I only could tell them and make them understand, but they will not listen. I am in the dark and can see only the past and everything foolish I have done. Oh, what a foolish girl I was. What is your name?" "Marion Lambert." "Where do you think you are?" "I do not know. I am not acquainted with anyone here." Crying, they talk of hell, but that could not be as bad as what I have gone through, just because of my foolishness. I would like very much to get out of all this trouble. I took my own life. I didn't mean to kill myself, I only meant to take enough cyanide of potassium to scare him. And now they blame him for my death. I would so like to do something to make them understand he is not guilty. Oh, but they will not believe me. I talk to the different people at the courthouse, but they take no notice of me, and will not listen to me. Everything is so strange, I don't know what to do. I was such a foolish girl. Oh, my poor father and mother. I'm half crazy with trouble and worry. If I could only go to the courthouse and show them that I am not dead, but that I am alive, why don't they listen to me? I go to the courthouse, but nobody will speak to me, and I have spoken to so many people. I am in such agony, I don't know what to do. If I had had more sense, I would never have done what I did, but it's no use saying that now, it is too late. I wish I could be in my body again. I studied a great deal, but I was so foolish it did me no good, and now am I suffering. Everything is so dark and I am in such trouble. The spirit was so hysterical that it was exceedingly difficult to make her understand that she could best help by keeping away from the courthouse, go with kindly intelligences to the spirit world and learn the higher purposes of life. In July, 1919, the interest of the American public was centered in a murder case in Los Angeles, in which Harry New was accused of killing his sweetheart, Frieda Lesser. The tragedy had taken place on July 4th in Topanga Canyon, where Harry and Frieda had driven late in the day. Near the crest, a shot was fired which ended the girl's life, and Harry New was arrested on a charge of murder. The girl had been expecting motherhood, and this fact was used in the trial as a motive for the crime. Harry New was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to San Quentin for 10 years. During the trial, we had an interesting experience which would have thrown new light on the case, could it have been accepted as evidence in court. Experience, January 7, 1920. Spirit, Frieda Lesser. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland. The controlling spirit was crying pathetically, and seemed bewildered. Doctor, what is the matter with you? Spirit, oh, I feel so bad. Doctor, what seems to be the trouble? SP. Lots of trouble. Doctor, possibly we may be able to help you. SP. That's impossible. Oh, I feel so bad. Weeping. Doctor, how long have you been dead? SP. I am not dead. I am sick and downhearted. Doctor, why should you be downhearted? SP. Because of my own foolishness. Doctor, what have you been doing? SP. Lots of things. Doctor, what in particular? Have you been happy? SP. Oh, no. I have not been happy. Wringing hands in anguish. I wish I had not been so foolish. Doctor, did something happen to you? SP. Yes, everything happened. Doctor, what is your name? Is it John? SP. I'm not a man. Oh, all those people. And that big crowd. And they will not listen when I tell them about it. Doctor, what is your name? SP. I feel so bad I can't think. Oh, Harry. It was not your fault. What are those people doing with him? He hasn't done anything. It was my foolishness. Doctor, what did you do? SP. I fought with him. I got hold of the revolver and was going to fool him. He tried to take the revolver away from me, and we both fought for it. I was only trying to fool him. I go to see him, but I don't know what to do. Doctor, why did you take the revolver? SP. I was only trying to scare him. Doctor, did you fire the revolver? SP. He tried to take the revolver away from me and it exploded. I feel so bad, and he will not talk to me, and there are all those people bothering him. He did not do anything. It was all my foolishness. He was a good fellow, but I fooled him. Where am I now? Doctor, you are in Highland Park, Los Angeles. SP. Why did I come here? Doctor, some good friend brought you here. SP. Why, I went to Harry, Doctor, do you refer to Harry New? S.P. Yes, of course I do. Doctor, did you care for him? S.P. I care for him more than ever because I cannot get to him. He did not do it, he did not shoot me. I told him that I would kill myself and I went and got the revolver. He didn't get it. I got it from his auto and I had it. I didn't mean to do anything. I was just going to frighten him. It was just foolishness, foolishness, foolishness. Doctor, what is your name? S.P. Frieda, Frieda Lesser. Doctor, do you realize that you have lost your body? S.P. I don't know anything, except that I go to Mother and Harry, and all over, and no one pays any attention to me. I want to tell them how things happened, but no one will listen to me, not anyone. I am so distressed, and I don't know why I cannot be heard when I talk. I am so unhappy. Doctor, the people you refer to do not know that you are there. You are invisible to them. S.P. Oh, that poor fellow is suffering for my foolishness. You don't know what my condition is. No one will listen to what I say, not one. Doctor, they do not know you are there. You are invisible to us, we cannot see you. S.P. Why can't you see me? Crying again and wringing her hands, foolish girl, foolish girl. Doctor, you must try to control yourself. You have been brought here by kind spirits and allowed to control my wife's body and brain for a short time. You can only use this body temporarily. S.P. Why can't you tell those people that it was all my foolishness? Doctor, they would not believe me if I did tell them. S.P. Tell them what? Doctor, that a spirit came and talked to us. Do you not realize that at the time the revolver went off, you lost your body? S.P. I thought I had only hurt myself. Oh, how I suffered. I do not see how I could be dead, because when you die you never suffer anymore, and I have suffered. Doctor, no one actually dies, only the physical body is lost. Your suffering was mental. S.P. But my head hurts so much. Doctor, that is a mental condition also. S.P. Why can't Harry talk to me? Doctor, he does not know you are there. He cannot see you. S.P. I go where he is and try to tell them that the whole thing was caused by my foolishness. Oh, if I could only change things. I took that revolver and said I was going to kill myself, but I thought I would only scare him. When he saw I had the revolver, he fought with me to get it away. I didn't mean anything, I was only fooling. I love him and he loves me. He did not know how the revolver came in his hands. He had it in his auto. I picked it up and hid it in my clothes for a while and then I told him I was going to kill myself. Doctor, had you any idea of marrying him? S.P. Yes, some idea. Doctor, did you really care for him enough to marry him? S.P. Yes. We had no quarrel. I was just going to scare him, but you know girls do foolish things sometimes. I wanted to test him, to see if he cared for me. Crying. Doctor, remember you are using my wife's brain and body, and must try to calm yourself. Look around and you will find kind spirit friends who will help you. S.P. I can never be helped anymore, I'm so unhappy. Doctor, when you leave here you will be taken to the spirit world. You have not yet found it, because you have been so disturbed with your trouble. Spirit friends are around you, waiting to help you. S.P. I want to tell those men how things happened, but they will not listen to me. They don't seem to hear me, or see me. I go to Harry, and because he feels me around him sometimes, they think that he is crazy. Doctor, you are a free spirit now, and you must listen to the spirit friends who are here. They will teach you how to obtain understanding and overcome your troubles. S.P. Will they kill Harry for my foolishness? Doctor, I hardly think so. S.P. Poor fellow, poor fellow. I feel so sorry for him and his mother. They both cry, and my mother cries. Why did I do such a foolish thing? It was a piece of folly. Doctor, now, look around and see if you can see friends who will help you. S.P. There's a young lady standing there, spirit, and she says that she was helped here, and she says she brought me here. She says she was in the same trouble I was, and that she was helped, and is so happy now, and that she can help me. She says she was just as foolish as I was, she took poison to scare her fellow, and killed herself. Doctor, does she tell you her name?
S.P.
She says she has been around me, because she does missionary work, helping to take care of girls in the same trouble as myself. Doctor, does she look sorrowful?
S.P.
No, she looks happy. She says she goes around and finds unfortunate girls who are in the same condition she was in when she went to spirit life. Crying, Doctor, don't allow yourself to become excited. You do not realize what a privilege you have in being allowed to control a mortal body and obtain understanding. Many remain in a bewildered condition for years and years.
S.P.
The lady standing there says you helped her when she was in the same trouble I am. Doctor, what was her name?
S.P.
She says her name is Marion Lambert. She says she works hard to help unfortunate girls who are in trouble and do foolish things, and that she tries to help them to happiness. She says that is her mission and that is why she brought me here. Crying. Doctor, tried to understand that you are using the body of this psychic only temporarily, and must not misuse it by becoming excited. This girl you see, came to us some years ago in the same distressed condition that you are in. Now she tells you that she is happy and doing missionary work.
S.P.
Can I ever be happy? Doctor, of course you can. This is only a temporary trouble you are in. No one ever dies, it is only the physical body which is lost. The spirit cannot die.
S.P.
But I never understood that. I never heard anything about spirits before. Doctor, if anyone had spoken to you about spirits while you were in Earth life, you would probably have laughed at the idea.
S.P.
The lady says she will take care of me, she wants me to rest. I am so tired. She says that I must go with her, and also that I must thank you for the opportunity of coming here. Will I have any more of that awful crying? Doctor, no. You will be taught the real lesson of life. Physical life is only temporary. Everyone has troubles of one kind or another, but through trouble we become wiser.
S.P.
Gazing intently at some spirit, her face brightened, then she shook her head. No, no, that cannot be. Crying. Doctor, what do you see?
S.P.
I was expecting a baby, and a girl has come holding a baby, which she says belongs to me. Can I have it? Doctor, certainly you can.
S.P.
But I am not worthy. They will look down on me. Doctor, you are not going to remain on Earth.
S.P.
I feel much happier than I did when I came. When did the baby come? Doctor, the baby was freed when you lost your body.
S.P.
I don't see how that could happen. Doctor, many things happen with which you are not familiar. You do not understand the wonderful mystery of life.
S.P.
Did I kill the baby, too, when the revolver went off? Doctor, when your body was killed, the spirit of the little one was also liberated. While you are talking through this body, we cannot see you. The real things of life are invisible. Did you ever see music?
S.P.
I have heard it. I hear beautiful music now. Doctor, you are beginning to realize the real things of life.
S.P.
Another beautiful lady with white hair is here, and she says she will be my mother for the present, and she will take care of me. She says she belongs to the Mercy Band. Doctor, the Mercy Band of Spirits is trying to bring before the world the fact that there is no death, and for many years we have been cooperating with them, helping spirits who are in trouble and darkness.
S.P.
This lady is very beautiful. She is not the one who was here first, nor the one with the baby. This one says her name is Mrs. Case. 11C Chap. 16, page 440. Spirit, Mrs. Case. 2C Chap. 7, page 159. Spirit, Olive T. Doctor, when she was on Earth, she was greatly interested in this work.
S.P.
The other lady says she will take care of my baby, because that is her work. She says her name is Abby Judson, and she takes care of the waif children. She says she was a spiritualist when on earth, and that she wrote, "Oh, I feel so sorry for poor Harry. Will he ever forgive me? Doctor, he knows the circumstances and he will forgive you."
SP.
Can I go with these people? Will I cry anymore? I have been crying so much that my eyes hurt me. Doctor, the spirit friends will enlighten you and will teach you life's lessons, and you will be happy. A sudden death, undoubtedly attributable to spirit influence, was that of Olive T.com, a too well-known motion picture actress. The newspapers reported that Olive T. had committed suicide one evening, in the early fall of 1920, in Paris, France, and 6 days later her chum, Anna D., also ended her life. Shortly after, the following occurred. Experience, September 22, 1920. Spirit, Olive T. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland. The spirit seemed to be in painful contortions, and was crying wretchedly. Doctor, who are you, friend? Come, tell us who you are. Tell us what is troubling you, and why you are crying. You have been brought here to be helped. Spirito, look. Look at that. Doctor, what do you see?
SP.
Look there. Oh, look. Isn't that horrible, that face? Alluding to an invisible entity. Doctor, do you know where you are? You are in California.
SP.
Help me.
Oh,
help me. Doctor, you must be reasonable.
SP.
Give me something to drink, champagne. Give me some champagne. Doctor, you are now a spirit and will have no further use for champagne. You have lost your body and are now in California.
SP.
Writhing, with face distorted, as if in intense pain. Oh, look. Help me. Doctor, try to realize that you have lost your own body and are now controlling the body of my wife, who is a psychic sensitive. Intelligent spirits have brought you here that you might be helped. You can only stay a short time.
SP.
Give me something to drink. Doctor, who are you? What is your name? We have nothing to drink and would not give it to you if we had. Try to realize your situation.
SP.
Take me out of this. Doctor, out of what? Try to be reasonable and the intelligent spirits can help you and bring you to a better understanding.
SP.
With intense excitement, get some champagne for me. Doctor, you must not act so wildly. Realize that you are now a spirit. My wife is a psychic intermediary, and allows spirits like yourself to control her body that they may be helped. Don't you understand that you are in a strange condition?
SP.
I don't care. Doctor, you will not gain anything by acting in this way. Excitement will only add to your misery.
SP.
Complaining a great pain, I want champagne, and I want it quick. Doctor, you won't get any more champagne, that life is past. Your earthly life is over. Come to a realization of your actual situation. Intelligent spirits will help you and bring you to a better condition in the spirit life.
SP.
Give me a cigarette. Doctor, you will not get any more cigarettes. Tell us who you are and what your situation is. Your only salvation now is to realize your condition, then you will have understanding and progress in spirit life. Where did you come from? You cannot satisfy your earthly cravings any longer. Tell us your troubles. Do you know that you are in Los Angeles, California?
SP.
Becoming greatly excited and pointing, look at that man standing over there. Spirit, he's horrible, horrible. I am so afraid of him. Don't let him come near me. He looks terrible. Don't let him touch me. Doctor, listen to us. We are your friends. We understand your condition. Tell us who you are.
SP.
I cannot tell just now, I am too afraid. Oh. I'm so afraid of that man. He haunts me, he's with me all the time. What is this place? Doctor, this is a psychic circle where we help spirits that are in darkness and ignorance. If you will calm yourself and try to be quiet, we shall be able to help you. Believe what I tell you, then we can help you.
SP.
The man over there is making such horrible faces at me that it frightens me. Doctor, try to compose yourself, then our spirit forces can aid you.
SP.
I don't understand you.